The days passed. Success went fizzily to Bernard's head, and in the process completely reconciled him, as any good intoxicant should do, to a world which, up till then, he had found very unsatisfactory. Insofar as it recognized him as important, the order of things was good. But reconciled by his success, he yet refused to forego the privilege of criticizing this order, for the act of criticizing heightened his sense of importance, made him feel larger. Moreover, he did genuinely believe that there were things to criticize. At the same time, he genuinely liked being a success and having all the girls he wanted. Before those who now, for the sake of the savage, paid their court to him, Bernard would parade a carping unorthodoxy. He was politely listened to, but behind his back people shook their heads. "That young man will come to a bad end," they said, prophesying the more confidently in that they themselves would in due course personally see to it that the end was bad. "He won't find another savage to help him out a second time," they said. Meanwhile, however, there was the first savage. They were polite. And because they were polite, Bernard felt positively gigantic. Gigantic, and at the same time light with elation, lighter than air. "Lighter than air," said Bernard, pointing upwards. Like a pearl in the sky, high, high above them, the weather department's captive balloon shone rosily in the sunshine. "The said savage," so ran Bernard's instructions, "to be shown civilized life in all its aspects." He was being shown a bird's-eye view of it at present, a bird's-eye view from the platform of the Charing T Tower. The station master and the resident meteorologist were acting as guides, but it was Bernard who did most of the talking. Intoxicated, he was behaving as though, at the very least, he were a visiting world controller, lighter than air.